I had my sermon already prepared going back to the God of the Bible, but I think the Lord wants us to preach on a theme that we've taught on and majored in Word of Life for 19 years, and that is living this thing out before God, recognizing you are a witness to God, first and foremost. So having said that, let's look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Let's start there. You know, you can hear something and hear it and hear it and hear it, but you still just don't get it. We don't get it. You can hear it for years and years and years and years, and you still don't get it. And I think this is one area that not only Word of Life, some members of Word of Life struggle with, but I think a lot of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is living this life before a watching world when you're not in church. When you're out there. We tend to get, well, the pastor ain't here. This is not a Word of Life setting. You know, we're not in praise and worship. We're not inside the building. And so therefore we feel, I guess the devil's selling that lie, selling anyone who believes that lie, that I can kind of, it's okay if I act a little, this certain type of way. And, you know, after all, the environment kind of lends itself toward that. And so therefore I'm going to kind of let my guard down. I don't think we even think that if we're letting our guard down. I think we think that it's just okay to do that. I think we just think it's okay to do it, and it's really no big deal as to, you know, it, that we kind of don't represent like we should. And I think that's where it's disturbing, and I think maybe that's why the Lord is moving on me maybe to kind of go over that, that it is a big deal. Look at Acts chapter 1. Look at verse 8. Jesus speaking to the apostles right before he leaves this earth supernaturally through his ascension, giving last minute instruction and encouragement and direction. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. I really think we've read that verse, Father God, many, many times, but we don't understand what it means. We understand it here, but nowhere near down in here. When I tell you my life of going to the extremes of things, such as being in a restaurant and there was a beer, some sort of beer container, bottle, whatever, on the table, because we were standing near the table to be seated next. And so it was like a crowded restaurant situation. And so you kind of go near the table like, okay, I got this one. I'm going to kind of claim this table. But I would not sit down at that table until they had cleaned off what was on there, which happened to be beer and things like that. Just, that's an extreme. Why? Because if I'm sitting down and somebody walks by, what are they going to assume? You drinking beer. But I've told you that, but we're still not getting it. Because that damages the witness. Well, I ain't doing nothing wrong. You have it in a sense, but in not keeping this, what Jesus has said first, that you're going to be a witness. And if we are a witness, who are we witnessing about? He said, you shall be my witness. We're representing Jesus. We are witnessing to the world that I belong to Jesus. Yeah. And then we talking about, I got the right to, I ought to have the freedom to sit down. I remember we went back and forth with our daughters when they were growing up. We were trying to teach them this, Miss Cheryl. And they couldn't understand. Well, they 7, 8, 9, because we started early. Teach them over and over and over. And we taught them. Over and over and over and over and over. They just weren't getting it. But we stayed true to it. I said, he said, witness. You don't want to damage the witness. You go overboard to make sure that Jesus' witness is not damaged in any way. You go overboard. Amen. You will be my witness. How are you a witness? You first must be empowered. So that's why he says, you said, you shall receive power, dunamis. Dynamite working energetic power. You have to be supernaturally endowed to even be a witness. Because a sinner can't be a witness for Jesus. So once you've been empowered by the Holy Ghost, when it comes upon you, the first thing he said out of his mouth is, you shall be my witness. And notice, notice, just like a pond where the rock drops in. And so when the rock drops in, boom, this is the Holy Ghost empowering us. And then our being a witness is like the first drop in that pond. And then it goes to Jerusalem, which is local. In this area, you're going to be a witness. Where you live. I don't live in Romulus. I don't live in other part of Romulus. You know what I'm saying? I don't live in Easter. So wherever you are, that's what Jerusalem represents. Because you say, well, I ain't in Jerusalem. Okay, you want to be, yeah, you just trying to not do what you need to do. I ain't in Jerusalem. Right. Yes, but you're in the world. And there's a locality about where you live, where you shop, where you live, the neighbors you see daily. Since you'd be witnesses, your workplace, all of that local, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, that's like the county of Wayne, it's like the next level out, and in Judea, and in Samaria, that'd be the region, Midwest region, and to the remotest parts of the earth. That would be the United States and eventually the world. If you're over in Thailand, if you're over in South Africa, you are still a witness. I love how one preacher put it. The world is a jury, and you're the witness. You're on the stand all the time. And based on what they see in you, because they don't know God, but they see in you, it's going to be their assessment. Sister Lana used some things like profanity and things like smoking and things of drinking. You know, it's not a sin to take a drink. We talked about that. If I were to sit down and have a drink in my house, that's perfectly fine. Because it'd be not drunk with wine. Wine was drank socially throughout Scripture. But here's the thing. When you know how somebody else can interpret your action, and the Word of God says, let not your good be evil spoken of, then for me to take a drink out in public, it then becomes a sin, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to show you that in a minute. For me to take a... Now, I hate to say this, but I guess if you're not addicted to smoking, I would assume that it's okay to take a smoke in the thing in your house. I would assume if it's not a habit in your home. But to go out and start smoking out in the public, if you saw me smoking and drinking, you know what I'm saying? And cussing. You walk up on me and you saw me smoking and cussing. He'll say, oh, that's a man of God. Let me go right to him. I'm drawn to his smoking and his cussing. Is that something you'll be drawn to? Am I representing the Lord Jesus Christ? This is what we don't seem to get. Even when your speech, if you're not even using profanity, even when your speech is not necessarily biblical and it's real worldly, you're looking like the world. He said, be not conformed to this world. Amen. Where outwardly you look like the world. My witness in Judea, Jerusalem, and then in Judea, and then in Samaria, then in the utmost parts of the earth. First thing, tell disciples, when the Holy Ghost comes on you, you become a witness. And that's what you need to understand, first and foremost. When the Holy Ghost comes on you, when you are saved, and your spirit is made alive, you are now born again, the first thing you become is a witness. Amen. I love how my students who are brought up in a very secular home, a very secular society, where profanity is just abundant, they are now telling their other students, hey man, watch your language. That's what I say, hear me say that all the time. Some of my kind are taking on the Mr. Harris direction, watch your language. That's being distinctly Christian. As I try to teach Judy and Brooke and Brianna, that it's not about you being right. It's about maintaining the witness. Does that make sense? It's not about having your rights. That's just too much. No, it's not enough. Hey, think of it like this. He shed his blood. He died for me. I was an enemy of the cross of Christ. He died for me. You mean I can't just give up a right to do something? Look at Corinthians. I think it's chapter. Hold on 1 second. Look at Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 8. And look at well, we're going to start with the first verse. I'm reading from New American Standard. Now, concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. That's one thing about, I thank God that this church can have that temptation, because we have a lot of knowledge. But let's not be arrogant. Amen. Amen. Love edifies. Love builds up. If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he is not yet known as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by him. I'd rather be known by him rather than thinking I'm all that, a smarty pants. Therefore, concerning the eating of things sacrificed to idols, because obviously somebody asked that question, and so he's addressing it. We know that there is no such thing as an idol in the world, and that there is no God but one. So, an idol is a false god. He said, "Ain't no really. It's just a made up thing." We know there's only one real God. Verse 5. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, talking about made up by man. Yet for us, there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for him. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through him. So there's one God and there's one Lord. But yet in the world, there are many gods and many lords, small G-O-D, right? You got Buddhism, Hinduism, Shintoism, Islam, all those isms. You got all kind of gods and all kind of lords. He said, but for us, who is us? The Christian, the believer. There's only one God and there's only one Lord. However, verse 7, not all men have this knowledge. But some, being accustomed to the idol until now, eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol. And their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Because they don't understand. They don't. They can do that. But by them being new in the things of God, their conscience is still believing that you're not supposed to do that because that's what they came out of. Let's keep reading. Being weak is defiled. Verse 8. But food will not commend us to God. All right? And that word commend means food will not present us to God. Right? That's not how that works. Commend us to God. We are neither the worse if we do not eat, nor the better if we do eat. But take care that this liberty of yours, come on, Word of Life, does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. How clear is that? It's okay for you to sip and sip. And if it's not a habit, I would assume it's okay to take a puff up. But you don't want to do that out here because you don't know who is watching. And it becomes a stumbling block. Profanity is a stumbling block. You don't say, you don't just hear somebody doing it and say, wow, that must be a godly person. That's not going to be the first thing out of your mouth. No. See, verse 9 again, but take care, be careful that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. A stumbling block, meaning cause them to sin, cause them to walk away, cause the word of God to be blasphemed. Yeah. The witness of Jesus Christ to be damaged. Verse 10. For if someone sees you who have knowledge dining in the idol's temple, will not his conscience, if he is weak, be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idols? For through your knowledge, he who is weak is ruined. The brother for whose sake Christ died. What it's saying by there is that if a weaker person sees you doing something, and they say, well, you know more than me, then I'm going to go on and do what you're doing, even though it's against his conscience. That's the key part. If you know it's against his conscience, so you have a potential ruining that brother. Why? Because if you learn to override your conscience, you're going to be in a whole lot of trouble then. That's what you don't want to do. Well, I saw Brother Greg Harris. I saw him, you know, he was doing a few things, you know. I saw him just having a good time, and he was having, you know, spitting a few expletives. It wasn't a lot, but a few of them out, and you know, he had a little smoke going, had a little beer on the table, and I figured I might as well do the same thing. Now, what if that person just come out of alcoholism? Just come out of alcoholism. If I'm at home and me and my wife are being intimate and I play a little secular music on the side, that's okay. But I'm not gonna tell everybody that's okay to do that because what you got a problem is secular music. And when you hear certain secular music, it causes your mind to go into a certain way that's very ungodly. And at that point, then I'm not supposed to eat secular music. Drink, smoke, or anything around you. I don't know what your problem is. I don't want to cause you to stumble. I don't want to ruin
this brother for whom Christ died. Verse 12. And so, by sinning against the brethren and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ Jesus. As strong language. Therefore, if food, comma, foul language, comma, smoking, comma, drinking, comma, secular music, comma, or any other causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again. Hallelujah. I will never curse again. I will never smoke again. I will never drink again. I will never listen to secular music again, so that I will not cause my brother to sin. Apostle Paul, arguably the second greatest apostle behind Jesus Christ on the face of the earth. He knew his right. He knew his liberty. But he didn't dare major in his liberties. He said, don't use your liberty to call somebody to offend. Take your regular self home, lock your doors, and do what you gotta do or what you wanna do. Being moderate in that, and that's it. Because smoking is always gonna be tough because they get, that lingers in the house for a minute, and then somebody walk in and, Pastor. Okay. Am I right? Are you gonna look a little crazy at me if you came in and smelled smoke all over my mouth? I thank God we don't have allowed smoking even on my grounds. Because I don't want that witness to be damaged at all. Not even on the ground. Front yard, backyard, outside. If somebody walking by, hope the wind blow quick. They walking down the sidewalk. I'm like, hope the wind blow it away. He said, I will not eat no meat if it causes my brother to stumble. He said, I won't eat it again. And then King James says, while the world standeth, long as the world is in existence, I will not eat it again. Why? You are more important than me. That person out there, because I don't know who God has called out there. I don't know who he's called. Right. And my smoking and drinking and cussing and all that is not going to bring that person, if God wants to use me. How many want to be meat, meaning fit for the master's use? I want to be used by God. Amen. To bring someone to him. You first are a witness. First, after you've been empowered. Second, you then have to check all your little things that you like to do. It may not be a sin, but it definitely is a stumbling block. Check all the boxes. Look at Colossians. I'm going to say 3. Colossians 3. Yes. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Colossians 3. Look at verse 14. Look at verse 12. Colossians 3, verse 12. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We got it. Colossians 3 and 12. So, as those who have been chosen of God, would that not be us? Yes. Holy and beloved, would that not be us?
Yes.
Chosen of God, holy, separate, distinct, set apart, other than, that's what holy means, and beloved, personally loved intimately by God, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. 14. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. A lot of good instruction for us there. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Here it is. This is where now. So when I do go out in the public and do my drink, do my smoke, do my cussing, do my this and the other, here it is why it is a sin. Verse 17. Whatever you do, by the way, when he says whatever you do in word or deed, do all, is that a suggestion?
No.
So that's a command.
Amen.
Okay. Now that we understand that this verse I'm reading is in the command section, when you disobey his command, what is that?
Sin.
Let's do that again. When God commands us to do something, he expects us to do it, right? When we break that commandment, that is what?
Sin.
Verse 17. Whatever you do in word or in deed, in word what you say, in deed what you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I feel like preaching Jesus Christ. Giving thanks through him to God the Father. Are you listening to me today? He said, whatever you do in word and in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can cussing be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can drinking be done in front of other folks in the fender be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ?
No.
Can smoking be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in front of other folk? No. Or your secular music, or your this, or your that, or your loose talk, or your shady jokes. He said, whatever you do. And love, he covered it all in word or in action. And guess what's implied in there? What third element is implied in there? Say it out. Your thoughts. Because you can't think before you speak. You can't speak without thinking. And you can't act without thinking. So what's implied in there is your thoughts. So it's safe to say, whatever you do, whatever you think, speak, and do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That phrase, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what that means? That means in agreement with his will. It means in agreement with his character. In agreement with his holiness. Word of life. You cannot afford to take 1 second off, let alone day off. 1 second off. Every slip is dangerous. Some of us cuss so much that we slip. If you're slipping on the time, you cuss a lot. Every slip is dangerous. Every action is dangerous. I just want a little, man, bump. I'm finna go get, man, I won't even get no wine cooler in the daylight. I gotta go sneak in, get me some wine cooler, go out to a liquor store 400 miles from here, just so nobody see me getting a wine cooler that I'm gonna drink at home. A wine cooler. That ain't nothing but glorified pop. And I'm nervous buying that. I literally go and find me an out-the-way party store. Miss Meany, because in case somebody see me. I know how I live for my mother and my dad when he was alive. I don't want to do anything to bring shame to my mother. Ever. I know how I live for my wife. I don't do anything to bring shame to my wife. Ever. Ever. How much more the Lord Jesus Christ? Ever. Everything must be done in the name of, in agreement with, in accordance to the character, the person, the holiness, the majesty, the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Saints of God, let's turn it up. our lifestyle before others. Let's turn it up. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Look at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And I thank God for you all taking notes, because I don't have any notes for this. This is all coming from the Holy Spirit. So I would like to get that from folks. So Romans 13, verse 13. Romans 13, 13. Verse 12, the night is far spent or almost gone. King James says, the night is far spent and the day is at hand, or the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light, and let us behave properly as in the day. Look at it. Not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. How clear can you make this thing, y'all? I want to read that again in the Amplified. Let's begin with verse 12 again. The night is far gone and the day is almost here. Let us then fling away the works and deeds of darkness and put on the full armor of light. Verse 13. Let us live and conduct ourselves honorably and becomingly as in the open light of day. What does that mean? Before folks, when folks are seeing you. Open light of day means that people are seeing you. He's telling us, let us conduct ourselves honorably and becomingly as in the open light of day. Not in reveling, carousing, and drunkenness. Not in immorality and debauchery, sensuality and licentiousness. Not in quarreling and jealousy. But clothe yourself, verse 14, with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and make no provision for indulging the flesh. Put a stop to thinking about the evil cravings of your physical nature to gratify its desires and lusts. Living a godly life is to be done before a watching world. And we are expected to do that. We're commanded to do that. Don't take it lightly. We get around friends, we get around family, some of us go to the co-working, get around our co-workers, and there we are, we just mixing right in. Hourly, looking just like the world. Just walk away from, don't go into the room, better yet. If you're in the workplace, you should see me. I will disappear. I mean, talking about becoming ghosts, I'm gone. If two men get together and they not saved or halfway saved or not mature, I'm gone. Because I know what the conversation is going to be. It's going to really turn to women or something about that. Something's not going to be holy. So I anticipate that I'll leave out the area. I'm gone. And if the Lord tells me to stay, to be salt to that conversation, then I will stay. But if not, I'm gone. Like, I'm not trying to hear that. I'm not around it. I get away from it. The only reason I have to be around it is if I've been called in because of a funeral situation where you got to go to the family and they may live in a certain area, Yeah, at that point that I'm there for a reason. Then I'm there with purpose. Like Jesus, when he drank with the sinners and so forth. That was purpose. People tell me, well, Jesus hung out with the sinners. He wasn't hanging out. Are you crazy? He wasn't just hanging. He was on a mission. It was an evangelistic excursion into their home to bring out whoever the Lord of God was instructing Jesus. Jesus said, I do all that. I don't do nothing of my own. I do everything that pleases the Father. If he's there in the home with some drinkers and all, it's because God has told him to be there. Some of us are using that an excuse just to hang around mess. Well, I got to be evangelistic. Man, you just want to be and just get into this mess because it makes your flesh feel good. That's ridiculous. He said, clothe yourself with the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for indulging the flesh. Amplified is excellent. Put a stop to thinking about the evil cravings of your physical nature to gratify its desires and lusts. Put a stop to it. Look at 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10. Hold on 1 second. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs chapter 3. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go with verse 1. Proverbs 3 and 1. Proverbs 3 and 1. My son, do not forget my teaching. But let your heart keep my commandments. Keep, that's an ongoing. That verb is ongoing, that you're always keeping his commandments. Not I've kept, past tense. Keep, present. Every time you're looked at, you ought to be keeping the commandments, right? Demar, keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. My mother's experiencing that as she'll be 90 years old this November 1st. Even though her husband died when she was 37 or somewhere in there, here she is still full of peace and life. And length of days. Amen. God is not a liar. Amen. What he says, is true. Amen. He cannot lie. Amen. Verse 3. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute or report or understanding rather in the sight of God and man. In the sight of who? Just God, right? Say what? Amen. And man. Oh, okay. I thought God was. No. The Holy Spirit says to the writer of Proverbs that when you do these things, you're going to find understanding the sight of God and man. You're human. You're biological, physiological. Physical for a reason. Because after you get saved, could he not have taken you right to heaven? But what's our purpose once we get saved? Become a witness. So instead of just saving us and moving us out, he saves and keeps us here and empowers us to be what? A witness to bring him glory. I hope you just caught that.
Amen.
Because that's profound. He could have just took us out. Or you say, come on with me. Because no one can snatch you out of my hand, so you're not going to become ever unsaved. But no, it's a fine favor. Now you found favor in the sight of God. Now you live right and find favor in the sight of man. Well, I didn't really know that. I thought it was just all about God. It is. But it is all about God through man that you're bringing glory to God. You can't bring glory to God and act the fool in front of men. Do you understand that? You can't just live anywhere in front of men and think that's going to bring glory to God. In the favor, then you'll find favor and understanding in the sight of God and man. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. I just want to stop right there. In all your ways. I mean, everything you do. If you can use profanity, if you can smoke, if you can drink and just acknowledge God in the middle of all of that, then either you crazy or you really is high. You don't smoke too much or something happened to you. Because this author is like, well, you know what? I can't acknowledge God in the middle of what I'm doing right here. That's just not going to work. He said, in all your ways. I mean, in everything you do, acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. Because if you're acknowledging him in the middle of your doing things that are not glorifying to God, and you truly are acknowledging him, he'll tell you don't do that. Because he's going to direct your path. He'll direct you from the path you're on to the right path. In all your ways, acknowledge him, all of them. He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil and so forth. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 31, and I'm going to read that in the Amplified as well as the New American. Right now I'm reading New American Standard. Verse 31, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do. And I love the comprehensive statement on the end. Because you know us, we're going to try to pick loopholes. Well, he mentioned eating and drinking. He said, whatever you do, in case you just got a little happy and thought, oh, just eating and drinking. Whatever you do. Do all to the glory of God. Now, this is a second one. Remember, the other one was, do all in the name of Jesus. This one is, do all to the glory of God. Again, you ask yourself these questions. Even though they're not a sin in your home, but if you go out and do them, then is that to the glory of God? No, it's not. It will never be to the glory of God. Smoking and drinking and cussing and all that, and not going to be to the glory of God. Period. And you know what? What I try to tell you all, some of you, maybe not on purpose, but you hold me to a higher standing. Well, you know, Pastor, if you were smoking and drinking, you know, yeah, but if you're doing the same thing, see, you say, well, I know you shouldn't be doing that. Yeah, but you shouldn't either. Because you're thinking, if you saw me, that's ridiculous. If I got a little ciggy hanging out my mouth and I got a little drink in my hand, you say, man, that's ridiculous. Yeah, but when I see you, it's the same thing. Yeah, it's no different standard. He said, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to Jews or Gentiles. What does that mean? That means to cause them to sin. Or to cause them not to accept the gospel. Or to believe in the word of God. It says, give no offense and no blockage, no stumbling, either to Jews or to Greeks. Who are Greeks? The unsaved. Jews representing the saved, Greeks representing the unsaved or the Gentiles. Give no offense to those who are saved or to the unsaved or to the church of God, just as I please all men and all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, so that they may be saved. How clear is that? I keep throwing my hands like this case is closed again. Let's read that in Amplified. Verse 31. So then, whether you eat or drink, or whether you may, or whatever you may do, do all for the honor and glory of God. In case you don't understand glory, then the honor. Is that honorable? Does that bring God honor when you do those things before a watching world? No. Do not, verse 32 in the Amplified. Do not let yourselves be hindrances. That's what the word, what word did they use? Offense, yes, which is a hindrance, a blockage, a stumbling block, a hindrance by giving an offense to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Do not lead others. This is still the end of verse 32 in the Amplified about being an offense, explaining it. Do not lead others into sin by your mode of life. That's why the pastors who, it was like went through a phase, I don't know if it's still going on now, but pastors were using profanity in the pulpit. I mean, just letting it rip too. They just suddenly thought it was okay to use profanity in the pulpit. My Lord and my God, your pastor, your leader, you just threw up on everybody in there. With your garbage. You think profanity increased among that pastor's congregation? I'm not sure. Even those who wasn't cursing say, oh, it's okay, he's doing it. Is that not a hindrance? Is that not offense to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can that lead others into sin by their mode of life? It most certainly can. And again, these are commands, and when you do it, it is a sin. Verse 33, just as I myself strive to please, to accommodate myself to the opinions desires and interests of others, adapting myself to all men and everything I do, not aiming or considering my own profit and advantage, but that of the many in order that they may be saved. Now people sometimes misinterpret that and think that Paul adapts to the culture, becomes everything to all men. No, because you're missing out the verses before when he said, do all to the glory of God. So in that context of doing all things to the glory of God, I then, within that framework, adapt and so forth to all men in that framework that God may be glorified and that they may be saved. So everything I'm still doing is for the salvation or working toward the salvation of others that are around me. And in a world with over 7 billion people, you never know who's watching. So like I tell you for 19 years, then just be right. Just do right in the public. Amen. Just do right. Just be right. We're approaching 8 billion people on the planet. Whether you're in California, Chicago, Bangkok, Cape Town, it doesn't make a difference. The world is the jury, and Jesus is on trial, and we are his witnesses. Amen. I hope you just got that. Amen. The world is the jury, Jesus is on trial, in a sense, and we are his witnesses. Amen. Look at Colossians chapter 3. And that's it, and we'll be done. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 18, 1 John 3:18. Little children is a title for the children of God. Let us not love with word or with tongue, but in what? Deed and in what? Truth. Amplify again, little children, let us not love merely in theory or in speech, but in deed and in truth, in practice, and in sincerity, everything you do. Father God, we thank you for this teaching, this encouragement to lock in on our lives before a watching world. We are being watched. We're being watched every day. I think it's safe to say by people we have no idea are watching. Amen. I'm going to say that again, Father, because I believe it's true and I believe you're moving on me to say it. We're being watched every day by people who we don't even know are watching us every day, let alone every day we're being watched by people who are, that we do know are watching. Yes. So in other words, Father, every day we're being watched. Period. Whatever we think, speak, or do, let it all be done to your praise and your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.